Oh, welcome back. And what I wanted to encourage you, you know, I don't know how many people are going to end up translating obscure Tibetan texts, you know? But incidentally, we're going through the two greatest books on emptiness ever written, I think. So I would keep coming even if you can't tell Ka from Ka. Okay? And, you know, like we'll be talking about translation and we'll be doing all that, but to get a chance to go through this entire text is like one out of a billion people, probably, something like that. So, you know, you should keep coming even if you never, you know, ignore the translation part and just get the emptiness part. These are the two greatest books, in my opinion, the two greatest books on emptiness ever written. So just to hear them, just to go through them is unbelievable. Like, very difficult to get this chance. It took us 8 years. It took me 8 years in the monastery. No one else wanted to do it. Everybody dropped out, you know. After the last 6 years, it was just me and Geshe Thupten Rinchen. And on the Gombo Rapsa, Jatson Kapa's text. And Uma Chiden, very difficult to get the whole teaching, okay? So, you know, stick it out for that. And, you know, go home and try to look beyond the words and just, you know, you can just go home and read the English, basically, and think about it and debate it, okay? So try to debate at least once a week, right? The idea is that you hear it in class, you go home and think about it yourself for, I say an hour, you know what it's going to be, 15 minutes fixing the tea, 30 minutes looking at it, 15 minutes, like, getting interrupted and leaving. But one time at home, review it on your own. One time, review it with a friend at Starbucks or 31 Flavors, wherever you can find around here. It's just fun to do it with at least one friend or two friends, right? And then thirdly, one session in debate, okay? All right? Then it'll be good in your mind. Then you'll really know it. And otherwise, it doesn't help much, okay? Like we had the nice 3 days at the church this week. But we all went out to dinner afterwards and tried to figure out how to keep it going because it doesn't help. You see, to hear it once doesn't help. It doesn't really change your mind. You have to review, okay? And then I request that, where's the other guy? Where is he? Alistair? Oh. Can you keep doing your stick on this? Okay, they're going to keep doing homework. So even if you're online, I encourage you to do homeworks and, you know, keep that up, okay? So they're writing them after the class each time because we don't know how far we're going to get each time, all right? Then we've been reviewing the basic Tibetan alphabet in a very beautiful system that's really based on the ancient way of teaching Sanskrit. And so I'm going to do a little bit more of that. I think I figured out a way. Christy didn't tell me this. There's a Tibetan font in here, right? Isn't there?
Yes.
What's it called? Is it, which one should I hit? This one? If I want to just type off the keyboard?
I always use the Tibetan.
What's it called? This one?
It's the one that looks like Tibetan and not the other.
So it's this one here?
Did you make the screen larger?
Oh, I don't think so.
The problem is it doesn't always come out in phonetic type when you type it, so you can't
say, oh yeah? You mean you can't guess what it is?
Oh, you can guess, but it's not that.
No, it's not.
It's not this, right?
Cancel
that. We'll figure it out later. Let's do it orally. You guys, if you don't have a list of the alphabet, get one, okay? You know, with the rows and all that, okay? So we'll just go down the first. I want to review the rows, okay? Anybody have that written out? No. Somewhere? Do you don't have it on your computer, do you? Can I have that?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. But can you still do that?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, the Tibetan alphabet can be, its 30 letters can be arranged in 7 rows of 4, followed by 2 letters. I'll get it up on the screen in a minute, but let's just get going. And there's a trick way to learn the alphabet quickly. You can learn it in about a week. If you're not, if you don't know the alphabet, work with Eric. Are you still doing your thing? You and Mercedes? Okay, raise your hands. So Eric and Mercedes are providing assistance if you don't know. And I'm not going to do it because I just want to get through this book in the next 5 years, okay? Which we have to rush. We're kind of behind schedule already, okay? So we'll go down this column. Say ka, cha, ta, pa, ta. Coming up your throat. Notice ka, cha, ta, pa, ta. This goes back because of pizza. When you eat pizza, you need these 2 teeth, okay? Say ka, cha, ta, pa, ta. Okay. Then what we call the aspirated. They're still high tone. They're still like, but there's more air coming out. Say ka,
ka,
cha,
cha.
It's like you're tired. Ta,
ta,
pa,
pa,
ta. Okay? Ka,
ka,
cha,
cha,
ta,
ta,
pa,
pa,
ta. What's it called? How do you show it in Word Perfect? Okay. I mean Word, right? Yeah. Okay. Mu? Okay. You don't need it. Okay. Thank you. This goes back. So that's the first column. We'll do it again. Ka?
Ka.
Cha?
Cha.
Ignore that one. Ta?
Ta.
Pa?
Pa.
Ta.
Ta.
Okay, now second column. Ka?
Ka.
Cha?
Cha.
Ta?
Ta.
Pa?
Pa.
Ta.
Ta.
Third column. Ka?
Ka.
Cha?
Cha.
Ta,
ta,
pa,
pa,
za,
za.
Ignore this next column. This is all the Sanskrit things, you don't need them. Na,
na,
nya,
nya,
na,
na,
ma,
ma,
wa,
wa.
Okay, and then 4 low tones. Okay, sha,
sha,
sa,
sa,
ah,
ah.
And then ya should be over there. Okay, ya,
ya.
Then 2 mid tones, ra.
Ra.
Rolled.
Rolled.
Okay. Ra.
Ra.
La.
La.
Sha.
Sha.
And then sa.
Sa.
And then ha.
Ha.
And ah.
Ah.
Okay. We finished the alphabet, okay? And we finished the subjoined letters, if I remember. Right? Right? Okay. Did we do head letters?
Yes.
We did head letters. So now we're going to do prefix letters. Say ka,
ka,
da,
da,
ba,
ba,
ma,
ma,
ah,
ah.
Ka, da, ba, ma, ka, da, ba, ma. 5 of the letters of Tibetan can appear as silent prefix letters. Like, how do you spell no? Yeah, K-N-O-W, right? How do you spell 2? You see, it's Tibetan's like that. It's got silent letters, like the word no. You can spell K-N-O-W. And the K and the W are really silent, you see? Or you can spell it N-O. See what I mean? So Tibetan has all these letters that come before the main sound that used to be pronounced in the old days, but aren't pronounced anymore. Like if you go to Mongolia or Ladakh, and you say Kyamdo, which means take refuge, they say Skepsgrugo. And we had a Mongolian monk lived with us. His name was Bratsunskrus, which is Tsundru in Hausa. So in the middle of the country, the language evolves and gets slurred. Like, what are you doing? You know? And then on the outskirts, you know, in the, what do you call it, like the, in the boondocks, everything is pronounced like it originally was. And then the people in the middle of the country make fun of the people in the boondocks, but the boondocks people are really pronouncing it correctly, right? That's another point. But anyway, there are silent prefix letters that come in Tibetan. So oftentimes you'll see a word that has... let's look at our text, maybe. Let's take this word right here. You see where my cursor is? This thing? It looks like bisten, right? Bisten. But the B and the S are silent. And you just say ten. Say ten.
Ten.
So you don't say bisten, okay? And we're going to talk about what prefix letters do to the sound, okay? Do they change the sound or not? Let me see if I can find an example. Let's leave it. If you know this row, three rows thing, one row, two rows, three rows. If you know this row thing, then you'll understand prefix letters, okay? Any first row letter, if you write another letter in front of it, just for spelling, like K-N or W, right? It doesn't change the sound at all. The sound is the same. Okay. So, for example, let me see. Yeah, there's a word kawa. Say kawa.
Kawa.
It means pillar. Okay, and it's just spelled with a ka. It's just a plain old ka. Then there's the word kangyur. Say kangyur. The word of Lord Buddha, baka. Okay, it has a b in front of it, like the k in no, but it doesn't do anything to the sound because it's first column. It's kachatapatsa. Whatever you put in front of them, it doesn't matter. So why did they put an extra letter in front of it? Yeah, it's a different spelling. It's a different word, you see? So in writing, you can tell the difference between a pillar and the word of Lord Buddha, because the word of Lord Buddha will have a B in front of it, ba, right? And that's all. Like, how do you know the difference between T-O-O and T-O and T-W-O? They're spelled differently, right? And I heard that in Japanese, I don't know, there's so many homonyms that when you talk to somebody, you have to go like this. You have to stand, they'll stand there, because in English, we only have two, two, and two. But they might have like 10 different kas, and then you have to stand there and write the character as you talk to somebody like that. So any first column letter, kachatabatsa, with a prefix letter, nothing changes. The sound doesn't change. Just the spelling changes, and then it's a different meaning, okay? There's another ka that has a da in front of it, and that means difficult, you see? So there's dka, bka, and ka, and they mean three different things. And they're all pronounced ka. Okay, got it? Easy, all right? Second column, which is, say, ka, cha, ta, pa, ta. Again, when you put a prefix letter in front of them, nothing changes. The sound doesn't change, okay? The pronunciation doesn't change. Except in very, very, like two or three weird words, okay? Like gyansen, geshi gyansen, for example. Like that, or gyamto in some cases, like that, okay? They're just weird. Okay, but when you get to the third column, say ka,
ka,
cha,
cha,
ta,
ta,
pa,
ta,
ta,
ta.
When you put a prefix letter on one of those, it changes from that Brazilian lady, airport lady. What is that? It's the sexy lady in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, who announces the flights. She's very famous in Brazil. And I heard it, and I said, that's ka. You know, because she goes, flight number 4, 5, 6, you know, she's very famous. She's very famous. So when you say third column, you have to say it like your, what do you call it, husky voice, like ka. Say ka,
ka.
Cha.
Cha.
Ta.
Ta.
Pa.
Pa.
Ta.
Ta.
Okay, that's the correct pronunciation of the third column. If you put a prefix letter, it changes to the real English letter, ga, ja,
da.
Ba, za. So you can tell if someone's been trained properly in Tibetan how they pronounce their third columns, right? If they've been trained properly, they say ka. Ka means like where. And ga means a saddle. You see what I mean? So you gotta know the difference. You gotta be able to distinguish between those two sounds. Ready? Here's third column without any other thing on it. Ka.
Ka.
Ka. And then here's with a head letter. Ga. Like God. Okay? Or here's with a prefix letter, ga. And that means old age or saddle, depending on how it's spelled. Or bliss. And you see? And it depends on how it's spelled. But ka, just the third column by itself, that's like where or what, or okay, like that. Got it?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. No, catch the difference between the second and third column. Here's second column. Ka. High tone, aspirated. No buzzing here, no guttural. No buzzing in your throat. Feel this when you do the Brazilian lady. Ka. Ka. It's all here. And then second column is just ka. 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 Okay? Oh, it doesn't become second column. It just becomes ga. Ga.
Like the first
column. No, that's ga. Got it?
Yeah.
You want to do some game? I mean, I'll do a game. You tell me first, second, or third column. Okay, ready? Ga. Ka.
Second.
Ka.
Third.
Okay? That's easy. Let's do second one. It's harder. Cha.
Third.
First. Second, sorry. Cha.
Third.
Second. Cha.
Third.
Third. Cha.
First.
First. Got it? We'll do the third one. Ta.
First.
Ta. Like you're tired. Ta.
Second.
Yeah. Ta. Okay, got it? It's like that. That's all. You practice, you'll get it. And you have to practice, because if you don't do it right, your Tibetan will never be good, because 23 words will sound the same to you in your head. And you'll never be a translator, and you'll never, you know. It's like cheap and jeep. I told you the story in Thailand. I worked in a gem. I started a stone company there. And we did rubies there, and there were three vendors, rare gems, leer gems, and real gems. Now, in Thailand, they don't distinguish between an R and an L. Okay? Like, they can't hear the difference between R and an L. So the receptionist would call me, Lil Gems is here. I'd say, is that real, rare, or leer? Lil. Okay, it would spell, you know, send me a fax so I can see... You know, so to them, these three companies are the same, which can cause a problem, right? And when you write checks to them and stuff like that. And if you pronounce them all the same in your head, you'll never be good at Tibetan, okay? You have to get this difference from the beginning, okay? And if you stumble and if you go slow, that's better than if you get sloppy. If it takes you 5 minutes to say ka, that's fine. If you just fake it, ka, somewhere between all three, then you'll never be a good translator. Okay, we'll do it one more time. You tell me what column. Ka.
Second.
Good. Ka.
First.
Ka.
Third.
Now here's a trick. Ga.
Fourth.
Third with something on it. Third with a head letter, third with a prefix letter, something on it. Got it? Okay, that's all. Fourth column. Let's do it one more time. Nga. Your nga is good. Nya. Because we don't have nga in English. We have nya and senor and canyon and things like that, but we don't have nga, okay? Nga, nya, na.
Na.
Ma.
Ma.
Wa.
Wa.
They're all low tone. You have to be careful on that. Nga.
Na.
Nya.
Nya.
Na.
Na.
Ma.
Ma.
Wa.
Wa.
When you put a head letter on them or you put a prefix letter on them, they get high. Nga.
Na.
Nya.
Nya.
Na.
Na.
Ma.
Ma.
Wa.
Wow.
When do we use this high tone in English when we're asking a question? Are you really going to go? You see how the tone goes? Are you really going to go? And that's the way it is in Tibetan. Hear the difference. Nga. Nga. Nya. Nya. Na. Na. Ma.
Ma.
Ma means mom. Ma means a pussy cut on your arm. You see, you got to know the difference. Okay? Na. Say na.
Na.
Like na means if, right? Na means your nose or your ear, okay? It's like that. You got to know the difference. Nga means me. Nga means a drum or a camel. You see, I mean, you got to get the difference. You got to hear the difference, okay? So that's all we're going to do.
Is there a difference between nose and ear?
Not at all. There's a spelling difference. And to remember, just so you can remember, the head letter for ear has an R, is an R, like the R in ear. And the head letter for nose is an S. like the S in nose. And that's how I used to remember it. You know what I mean? So, easy way to remember it, okay? Now, one more point. You see these? I'm going to point to something with my cursor. The letter ma, which is right here. Okay, ma. And the letter ah, right here. Okay, those two, when they are prefix letters, they do something weird to the word, to the sound. And you should know. When they're prefix letters, like K in K-N-O-W, they make another change in the letter. Okay, and they only do it to the, which column do you guess? Third column. First two columns are like locked in, you can't do much to them. But they do it to the third column. What do? They do a thing called a prenasal. Okay, a little nasal sound before the sound. So say ga.
Ga.
I'm sorry, say ka.
Ka.
That's where, right? Say ga.
Ga.
That's bliss, okay? But when you put this prefix letter before it, it's nga.
Nga.
Hear that little N sound? Nga.
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 Okay, and then it means some. Some people or some things. Gashik nga. Okay, got it? Yeah.
Is there a difference between that na and just the low tone na?
Yeah, there is.
It's like a space. Like
yeah. That. Yeah, it's a difference between nga and nga. One, you're just kind of setting up the sound. You say and then you say ga. And the other one, you say nga. You see, it's a different thing. Different thing. You'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. And you won't learn it in one day. It's just that I'm trying to teach you the rules so it's on tape. And you got to be trained in it. Okay? And then you'll be perfect. 99.9% of Tibetans could not explain this to you. They do it, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't teach it this way in the monastery or anywhere else. This is taught by linguists in Tibet, right? But they do it, and they don't know they're doing it. You know, you say, did you prenasal that? And they're like, huh? You know, okay? Okay, it's not like that. Like Ganden is really Ga-den. Ganden Monastery. There's no N. There's no N. It's a prenasal. It's a Ganden. The N belongs to the second syllable. It's Ga-den. And then when you say it fast, it's Ganden. I'll give you another example. What do you guess a gun is called in Tibetan? fire arrow. So fire is what? Me. And arrow is nda. It's a ma before the da, right? Nda. So what do they call a gun? Menda. Menda. You see what I mean? They slur it. It's like menda. Okay? Got it? That's the prenasal. There's no N in there. Okay? So you'll learn it. All right? You'll learn it. It's just I want to have it on record that I said it. Okay? And then you have to practice. Right? And we'll do that. We'll read the text together. And that's all we're going to do on the prefix letters. Okay? If we come to some, I'll point them out. Now, I'm going to skip down. We were at Arya Nagarjuna. This Arya was explaining emptiness in two different ways. One was through logic, and one was through scripture, right? And he wrote books to do that. So as far as scripture, he wrote this one here, The Compendium of the Sutras. He just wiped quotations out of books to explain emptiness. All right. Then as far as logic, he wrote these six books about emptiness. All right. And then we've been going through those six books. That's where we've been. Okay. By the way, we're in the monastic textbook on emptiness, which explains Jetsun Kapa's textbook, which was written like 150 years before that, something like that, okay? So it's easier to get to Jetsun Kapa if you go through the monastic textbook. So that's the strategy that we're working on, okay? Now there's a logic to the way that those six books present emptiness, and here's the logic. The most famous book by Arya Nagarjuna is called Tsawa Sherab. Say Tsawa.
Tsawa.
Sherab.
Sherab.
Mula Pragna.
The
root text on wisdom. Okay, and that's just the most famous one. We had it in the Christian class yesterday and the day before. Kewa me pa gaba me. There's no starting, there's no stopping, there's no coming, there's no going, there's no going. It, you know, it's very beautiful. The opening lines are very famous. The car doesn't run on gas. You know, the opening lines of Tsara Shirab say, your car doesn't run on gas. It runs on kindness. Okay? And but it's like unbelievable. It's like Nagarjuna starts out the greatest book of emptiness ever written, you know? Your car doesn't run on gas, period. He leaves you, he doesn't explain it, okay? All right, but that's another thing. And that's a truly existing working thing, right? It refutes that. There is no working thing, a car, which runs on gas. There's no such thing. And that's earth-shaking, that's earth-shattering, that's profound, that's unbelievable. If that's true, then every action we take is wrong. You know, you try to start your car with a key, you're wrong. That's not what starts a car. What are you talking about? How do I start a car then? You give people rides. That's why your car starts. Really? Nothing to do with the key. Nothing to do with the petrol. Nothing. No connection at all. If you have been kind and helped other people, given them rides, your car will start today. If not, it won't start. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how much gas is in it. Right? It's unbelievable. I mean, that's Nagarjuna's first statement in his first book. And then people are going to freak out, right? So here they start to freak out. Then people come back to him. Actually, there are 16 different complaints about him called the 16 logical terms. Okay, and these are very complicated. You need like 6 years of logic training. We'll leave it. Part of the art of translation. And as we go in this translation work, we are defining the art of translation. We are making rules for translation. Later, you've got to put them all in some logical order because I'm just throwing them out as they come. Don't get bogged down in the detail if you know you only got 6 years to finish this because you won't make it. You won't make it. You see what I mean? Just define your level of detail. We don't have time to go into the 16 logical terms in detail. It would be great. It would be fun. You would learn a lot. You would never get to the middle of this book. You never get to the emptiness part, okay? So you make a decision. As a teacher, you make a decision, and as a translator, you make a decision. How much detail? Do I want an 800-page book, which Doubleday specifically told me they won't publish? Or do you keep it to 200, which they'll think about? You see what I mean? It's like that, okay? And will the student benefit more from getting to the end of the book or from learning the 16 logical terms? And then you make your decision. You see what I mean? Okay. The second book does that. Nagarjuna's third book is called 70 Lines on Emptiness. It's an extension of the seventh chapter. A lot of his six books are extensions from the first book. Like he'll take a theme that he was working on in the first book and he'll expand on it in another book. So this is how things work, even though they don't have any nature. Okay? Fire is not hot, but you can still cook popcorn, right? With it. Am I right? Yabukashima. I get popcorn tonight. You heard, right? No, right. So is fire hot? Is hot, is heat a quality of fire? No. But can you make food with it? Yes. You know, how does that work? You see, that's what this book does. This book explains that. Why? Why is that true? Why doesn't fire possess heat? Isn't that the definition of fire? Tsashing sepa, mei tse ni yinbei yichir. The definition of fire is that which is hot and burning. Then you say, fire doesn't have a quality of being hot. What do you mean? What's that mean? From its own side. Okay? Even the thing which defines the thing doesn't belong to the thing. It's coming from you. It's coming from your mind, not from the fire. The heat of fire is coming from your mind. If you know that and you can work with that, you can pick up a burning metal thing and not get burned. You see? That's how miracles can occur. If you can adjust the quality of the fire, which is not there, because it's coming from you, right? If you can learn how to adjust that on the fly, you know, yogis, then they just pick up these burning red-hot things. We saw Pujari in India. He's like, he had this special lamp thing that has six 6, 7 flames on it, you know. And then he handed it to me when they said, take it outside, and I grabbed it, and it's like, you know, it just burned my hand like that, you know. And he's like, oh, sorry, you know. And, you know, there's this thing, you can, the fire doesn't have heat. Your mind is imputing the heat, you see what I mean? Okay? But, and you can still cook with it, okay? All right, next book. Just explains about positive and negative objects. Why is that important when you're studying emptiness? Huh? Why? Yeah, emptiness is just an absence of something. Okay? Like Rinpoche used to make a joke about the guy in the monastery who said, I saw emptiness, you know, and the other guys were saying, what was it like? It's a little bit green. You know, it's like, yeah, yeah. Emptiness is just something that's not there, okay? It's just a condition of something not being there. So you better know the difference between positive thing and a negative thing, okay? Emptiness means fire never had heat, never could have heat, never will have heat. And that's its emptiness, okay? That's by itself, from its own side, okay? Got it? Okay, next book, the next two books. It's one thing to talk about how this cool thing about fire. It's one thing to talk about how the car doesn't run on gasoline. But what does it do for me? You see what I mean? Does that have any application in a real person's life? And then you get to this idea. These two books are like, yeah, this is what liberates you. If you see that, anything is possible. You see? If you understand emptiness, you can do anything. You can get liberated. You know? That's a big thing. So the first couple of books prove emptiness. Then you got two books to say, look, we're not just doing some philosophical like game here, you know? This thing can save you. This fact can save you. You know what I mean? Like, if your arm doesn't have mortality in the way that fire doesn't have heat, right? Then all things are possible. You can change. You can save people. You can become an angel, right? So those two books do that. This is where we left off last class, okay? If smashing things to find dust refutes those 16 different logical terms, what are those different logical terms? And we were struggling with the how to split the wording to get 16. And we did 16 logically from the Tibetan text here. Then we did a text search, and we found out that no other book from India or Tibet splits them up that way. Okay, so he's quoted this thing from somewhere, we don't know where, and it's probably wrong. Okay, sometimes it happens, you hear something in the debate ground, the guy's in a rush, or the guy's like getting beat, and he just throws out a quotation that he half remembers, and then you memorize it from that, and then it goes on. People start memorizing it, you see. So we've made a footnote here about like three mistakes in that quotation, apparent mistakes in that quotation. Note how I made the footnote. Here's a rule about translation. You are not smarter than the guy who wrote the book. Trust me. Okay? I mean, most translations when you read it, oh, Nagarjuna didn't get this point. You know, I do. You know what I mean? It's very common. Very common. You know, it's almost like condescending to one of these great masters. Oh, he didn't memorize this line right, or something like that. You don't know. Maybe he had a different text from ancient India that listed 16 different terms. You don't know. Maybe he was teaching his students and he wanted to test them. Maybe the carver on the third generation woodblock missed the word. You know what I mean? I've seen it in my lifetime with stuff that I wrote that I can hardly recognize. You know, because three editors got a hold of it. I'm like, who wrote this? You did. What? You know, so you have to be careful how you turn. You don't say it's wrong. You say it numbers them differently. Okay? And every other work numbers them differently than I found. Okay? And they all agree. So we better tell the reader what all the other books agree on. And they come from ancient India and from Tibet. Okay? So there's a short example. There's a short explanation of the pieces that were missing in that quotation or were wrong or spelled wrong or, you know, stuff like that, okay? And that's the cool thing about the ACIP work, you know? if we can continue, not only with the Tibetan, but also the Sanskrit, Greek, Coptic, Hebrew, then the materials we have to work on these things will be more accurate when we lead them than when we got them. You see what I mean? Which is cool. Okay, now we're on to fresh translation stuff. The rules of this class, if you have a comment, just make it. If you're online, go ahead. Somebody, Andrea, I think, will yell it out. And the thing we wanted to try in this class was to I'll translate on the fly. I'll translate live. And then your job is to say, raise your hand and say, that doesn't make sense, or that sounds clumsy to me, or that's not normal English, could you put it in normal English, which is the worst thing a translator can do, right? Or you know, I can think of a better word for that. And we've had a lot of good words. We've had a lot of good things. I like the translation. I read it again today, and it's sort of a collaboration, and I like it. It's coming out nice. So I'll translate, then you critique. And we're encouraging, like, Tibetan scholars around the world, like, you know, experts. We wrote letters to all of them and said, please, once in a while, you know, tune in. And, you know, like Geshe Thupten Jinpa, His Holiness the Translator, and people like that, we said, or Professor Thurman, we said, we know you're busy and you have better things to do, but if you want to tune in and critique as it's happening, you know, like complain about stuff while it's happening and help us. It would be a very interesting approach. It'd be like having 15 people lean over your shoulder while you're translating the Bible or something, and they could say, that doesn't make sense, or that's not so clear, or I happen to know that's wrong, you know, or something like that. So it'd be an interesting approach, right, which the technology allows us to try. So we'll see. Okay, here we go. So earlier in this book, the author had said that book that Arya Nagarjuna wrote called 70 Verses on Emptiness is a takeoff from the seventh chapter of his big book, right? The root text on wisdom. And the 70 Verses on Emptiness demonstrates how even though the car is empty, or even though heat, fire is not hot by itself, you can still cook with it. Things still work. Okay? So the author of our book, this monastic textbook, is anticipating somebody saying, prove to me that it comes from that book. And prove to me that it shows that things still start, things still stop, you can still cook your dinner, you can still get the buoy. Okay? Prove it. So here he goes. Okay? There is a way. I can show you. Here it is. When you're doing poetry, it's nice to put it into these, to look like Tibetan poetry, into lines. Okay, so I've done that here. And let's see. This is true. Where are you? Yo. Let's try again. Yep. Whoa. I got a bug, mister. Yeah. It's actually erasing the thing that can there.
It looks like a display problem.
Should I get out and go back in?
Try scrolling back and see if it...
Okay.
Clicks. Yeah, and scroll... No, now scroll back down again and see if it's there. Yeah, it's just not displaying it right. It might be because my computer just crashed, and so the VNC thing is a little weird.
Okay. How should I do? Well, I'll translate it. Somebody type it. Okay, and then tell me when you think it might go. Rabje Dumbale. Say Rabje.
Rabje.
Dumbale.
Dumbale.
I like the Dumba. It's the third word there. It's got a prefix, so it's dun and not dun. Okay, it's dun and not dun. Got it? Hear the difference? Say dun.
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 And they're different. the two different words. Okay, dun means seven, dun means meaning. Okay, big difference. So Rabje Dumba means the seventh chapter says, seventh chapter of what? Root text on wisdom. Because he's trying to prove what? Yeah. The book 70 Verses on Emptiness is a takeoff from the seventh chapter of that first book. Okay? It says, well, Milam Jishin. Say Milam
Jishin.
Oh, check, this is great. There's me with a head letter. So it's Milam.
Milam.
Milam. And not Milam. Hear the difference? Me.
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 Me. Me. It's not so much tone, right? I'm not going me and me. It's more like force. It's more like emphasis. Say me.
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 Me. Me.
I didn't say that. You see, that's how we use emphasis in English. Okay? Me.
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 Me. Milam means a dream. Milam means a path for a guy to walk on. Okay? Big difference. So, Milam Jishin. Yeah. Gyumashin. Jisei Chongkyul. Jishindu. Deshin. Gedang. Deshin. Ne. Oh, without the head letter, it would have been ne. Say ne.
Ne.
Ne. Sorry, prefix letter, right? Say ne.
Ne.
Ne. This is ne.
Ne.
Ne means to stay. Okay? Ne means barley, which is the most important food in Tibet. Okay? So you don't want to mix up ne and ne. Okay? There's a famous story of a Tibetan who sent a letter to somebody and somebody was misreading it because they didn't know about prefix letters. And I won't go into this. Yag Nagashi. Right? Yag Nagashi. anyway. Which he meant to say, the tail, the yak with the white tail died on me. But the guy misread it, and it came out all five of my yaks died, and it was a big disaster. But anyway, say, Deshindu
ni
Jikparsun.
Jikparsun.
Okay, so should I do anything? Should I start it and turn it off and turn it back on? Should I try it? Let's see.
I think it's probably...
No.
No, it's time.
Okay. I'll just keep going, and somebody type it, okay? So Rabje Dumba Le means the seventh chapter says, comma, okay.
There's a possibility you may be picking up some sort of formatting.
Yeah.
You just copy a line that you typed before.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Paste it.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, that's good advice.
And then, oops. Or no, you
yeah, to, like type after the H and see if
yeah. Let me try that.
No. No, it's a display problem.
Yeah.
Maybe just
get out and go back.
See the little V on the bottom, like little bar on the bottom.
This one?
No, no.
On the bottom.
Go to the right. So
that one?
There.
Okay.
Click on that. Didn't do anything.
Okay.
Give me a double click, maybe. Yeah, and then. All
right,
sorry, cancel
that. Okay. Sometimes I just get out and come back in. How's that?
Yeah, it might work.
Let's try this and see what happens. No. Okay, I'm just going to, oops. I'll translate you type. And like the city of the spirits. And these are three examples that they use for things that aren't real, okay? Dreams are clear. Illusions are clear, like magical illusions, like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. And then the city of the spirits, Chisa means a smell eater, and that refers to, it's Gandharva in Sanskrit, but it And Gandha means smell, right? It came to mean preta, because like if you put out chok, they can smell it and they come. They live off the smell oftentimes. They can't eat the food, but they can live off the smell. So they're called. And this is something that if you came to one of, if they see a city, for example, if they see a river, and they, you know, from the waterfall thing in the Madhyamika course, it looks like a river, and then when they run up to it, it disappears, or it appears as blood or something like that. So you can't see, they see a something city or a city of spirits, and then when you get there, it's just an illusion. It's not there, okay? So he's saying the starting of your car, the driving of your car, and the stopping of your car are all illusory. They don't exist the way you thought they did. And that's okay if you've had someone explain it to you. But if someone comes up to you and says, your car doesn't start, your car doesn't go, and your car doesn't stop, then it's a little confusing, right? And people misunderstand for centuries. And then they get up in front of people and say, emptiness means X, ridiculous thing. And everyone's like, wow. You know, okay? So anyway, here's where the confusion starts, way back with Nagarjuna, okay? And, okay? And this part here says, and so, the seventh chapter is demonstrating how these three qualities of starting and staying and stopping have no nature of their own. They have no nature of their own. Okay? Starting is not starting. Starting has no nature of starting. Staying has no nature of staying. Stopping has no nature of stopping. Got it? Okay. Na. If you say that, then kachik. Kachik means what? You know? Yeah, but literally what's it mean? One mouth. Ka. Okay? Somebody comes up and says, wait a minute. Kachik always means, wait a minute. Okay? Somebody's mouth. Somebody opens their mouth. Kachik always means somebody opens their mouth. Wait a minute. Okay? Let's split this up, right? Well, I just lost the whole quote. Okay. Okay. We'll just go like this and see how it goes. Here's the kachi. Here's the guy's complaint. You know what he's going to say? Demi tete, that's incorrect. Because if there's no starting to things, and there's no staying of things, and there's no stopping of things, okay? If there's no such things, I'm sorry. If the starting of things, and then he says the stopping of things, and the staying of things, if these three things don't have any nature of their own, then they can't exist. Okay? If the car doesn't start on its own, then there's no starting to a car. If the car doesn't drive because the car's driving, then there's no driving. If the car doesn't stop because the car stops, then there's no stopping. Got it? Boy, is it too warm in here? Okay. All right. And if there's no starting, staying, or stopping, then you contradict the sutras. Who spoke the sutras? Well, that's a serious accusation. You contradict Lord Buddha, who said, here are the three qualities of all things which are produced by other things. It is apparent that things which are produced by other things start. It is apparent that things which are produced by other things stop. And it's apparent that they go on changing from one thing to another. Okay? Lord Buddha said that. You got it? So where are we so far? Aryanagarjuna picking up from the seventh chapter of his text, there's a verse that says, things don't start, the starting, the staying, and the stopping of things are just like an illusion, are just like a dream. They're not real. So this guy comes up and says, you can't say they're not real, because if they're not real, they don't really exist. Is that true?
No.
That's the tricky part, right? They cannot be what they seem to be, but still be something, right? Okay, got it? But he doesn't think that. If they're not what they seem to be, they don't exist. He's already put words in our mouth. Okay? So he said, if these things don't exist, if they don't have any nature of their own, they don't exist. Okay? And if they don't exist, you're in big trouble. And then we go, why? Because Lord Buddha himself said, the very definition of a produced thing is that they start, and they stay, and they stop. Okay? All right? That's where we are. Sarana, if you say that, say Sarana.
Sarana.
Right there. Sarana.
Sarana.
Now I'm going to say something else. Listen carefully. Sarana.
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 What's the difference? Sarana. Sarana.
Sarana.
This is the letter Sa. Say Sa.
Sa.
That backwards E. Okay? And here's the letter Sa. Sa. The one that has a V and a line next to it. Okay? Two different completely. Sarana. Say Sarana.
Sarana.
Means if you say. If you claim. If you say that to me. Okay, then say Sarana.
Sarana.
Sarana means cheap. Won't spend money, won't share money. Big difference, you got another difference, okay? The opposite of the first perfection is sarana. Okay? How would you say if you say cheapness?
Sarana.
Sarana, sarana. Sarana, sarana. Got it? Sarana? Sarana. Got it? If you say cheap. Got it? Okay, anyway, here we go. Kien me, say kien me de? Ke? Nji. Why? Why? It's got that little prenasal there. Jik. Ne. Sumbo. Tane. Tsamdu. Yepala. Gongba. Yimbe. Chir. She. Len. Nzepa. Yinte. Okay, good. Did you hear the prenasal? Okay. Kien me te. Geshe Lothar is always saying this. Kien me de, kien me de. People in India are always telling you that. What? No problem, no problem. Like when you just lost your last reservation on the plane to Delhi for 6 weeks. No problem. Kien me de. Okay. Like when they say that, then you know you're in trouble. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, kien me de means no, there's no such problem. Okay, there's no such problem. Because yinbei qian, okay, yinbei qian, right, in debating, because he was only gongba. What does that mean? What's gongba rab sao? That's the book we're translating, the other book, and it means the clarification of the what he really had in mind, right? So here's a good colloquial usage of that. His gongba wasn't that. I mean, Lord Buddha, what he had in mind, his gongba, when he said what? Things start, things continue, things stop. Okay, what he had in mind was that those three, tanye tsamtuye, tanye tsamtuye, they only exist nominally. Okay, tanye means nominally, tanye tsamtuye. What's that mean? What's that mean? Do they exist or not? Does your car start?
Yes.
Did you get here?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it real?
No.
No, you see, the difference between the two Madhyamika schools is what? The lower school can't get past this point. The lower school can't get back this, past this point. It started, so it must have been real. Come on. I got here. It must have been real. Okay? That's what they say. If it wakes, it must be real. I mean, what more real do you want? You see what I mean? If it got me here, what more real do you want than that? And we say here, no. It's just nominal. It's not real, it's nominal. What's that mean? Does the starting of the car only exist in words? No, I mean you can write start the car on a piece of paper, it's not going to start the car. Right? It's not true that it exists only in words. Or is it? What's the word? In the beginning was the word. Really? What's the word? What's the real word? Yeah, it's the concept, right? In the Abhidhamma Kosha, first chapter, you know, what is the word? Is it the concept or is it the sound? It's not the sound, come on. It's the idea of your car starting. It's the image of your car starting. Your car started in your mind. Okay? It's a projection of your mind. Your car started because you helped other people get rides to Diamond Mountain or someplace like that in the past, and that put a seed in your mind to see your car start. Okay, that's all. So is your car really starting? Out there on its own. You see, no. That's all he's going by was. He just meant to say, look, your car starts, but it's your mind. It's a perception. You see? It's not starting out there on its own. If you had not given other people rides, you wouldn't be seeing the car start. Because that's the only reason cars start. Got it? Not because of gas, not because of a battery. Only because you were kind to somebody. It's really cool, right? That's all Buddha had in mind. Lanzepa yinde. Lanzepa yinde means that's how Nagarjuna answers that objection. That's how his book answers that objection. Okay. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, okay. Let's just leave that alone. I'm not going to split it, okay? It goes down to here. Say, Deketu, Yang, Tongyi, Dunjupale. Deketu Yang means the same idea is expressed, okay, in Tongyi Dunjupale, in the 70 verses on emptiness. What's Tongyi? Emptiness, okay? It says, Ke am ne jik yodham me. Do starting and staying and stopping exist or not? Do they exist or not? Okay. Member am, say member am. Prefix letter. It used to be member, and it became member. Got it? Okay, member. Say member.
Member.
What's take men? What's take chen? Yeah, Hinayana and Mahayana. So men means Hina means small means lower. Okay? So member means lower. Nyamba means equal. And Kepar Chen means extraordinary. So depending on whether this person listening, the person in the audience was lower capacity, medium capacity, or higher capacity, well then, the Buddha, Sangye, Jikten Nyewang Ki, only in keeping with the words of the world, only in keeping with the, what do you call it, conventions of the world, okay? Sung, he used those expressions, things start, things stay, things stop. He said that. Key. This key is the negative. Okay, what is it usually? No key. Key. Huh? It's a genitive. It's just apostrophe s. Okay. Well, it's just apostrophe s. 1% of the time it means but. So go figure. Okay. So he says, yeah, Lord Buddha said that, but yanda wang ki min. He didn't mean it literally. He didn't mean it. In and of itself. Okay? He didn't mean that. Okay, got it? So does this book, the 70 verses on logic, come from the 7th chapter of his first book? Yes. Why? Well, the 7th chapter talks about how starting, staying, and stopping don't really exist. And then the 70 verses on reasoning explains why they don't exist. Okay, got it? All right. It's too hot in here. Okay. This is important. Like, you can make $250 million, you can straighten a bone in your foot, and you can see emptiness, you can get enlightened. This is the key, right? This is the real key. So, pay attention. Okay. Say, 쩐독, 랍체, 당보. Did I say 당보 or 당보? 당보, because right there, no prefix letter. It's 당. Say 당. Okay, if you say 당, it means I got mad. If you say 당, it means here's the first thing I have to say. Big difference, okay? Say 당보, 레, 처싱, 케바두, 양, 각둑, 기남샷, 테팔. What would this be without a prefix letter? Right now it's tepar, second column. What would it be without the prefix letter? Same thing. It's a trick question. It's just tepar, okay? All right. Tepar, tembe, su, yute. Okay. So it is true that Refuting Argument, which is another one of his books, right? He presented emptiness. People complained to him, and he beat them. Like there was boom, boom, bang. Okay, got it? So he wrote a book called Bang You Back. Okay? Cindok means you argued at me, and I turned it back on you. I stopped your argument. Okay, Cindok. Rabche Dambole Tu. It does take off from a theme in the first chapter of his first work. Okay? And in particular, Kepadu, it also describes how everything about the idea of positive and negative is fine. It still works, okay? Positive and negative still make sense, okay? How is that? Rabche Dambo, the first chapter says, Ngopo namki rangshin ni. Say, Ngopo namki rangshin ni. Ken la sokla yomayin. She. Okay, that's all. Ngopo namki rangshin ni. The nature of things, ken la so la yomayin, does not lie in their causes. The going of the car does not lie in the gasoline. Got it? Okay? The going of the car, the working of the car, ngopo, functioning thing, does not lie in the apparent causes, in the gasoline. Got it? Okay. Ngopo nam rangshin ki ma kepe gyuten ki, because things don't start on their own. Rangshingi madupa, they don't exist on their own. Okay? So I'm going to investigate whether a car exists from its own side or not. What would be one approach to take? Yeah. Does it start on its own? Okay? Does it take off from its gasoline or not? That is a way to investigate whether the car itself is self-existent. Okay? If it can start from gasoline self-existently, it's probably self-existent. Okay? If it can't start from gasoline self-existently, then the car itself is probably not self-existent. Got it? So when you're investigating whether a thing is itself, investigate whether it comes from something by itself. Okay? That's all. So, Kachi, what's that? Yeah, that guy comes. Big mouth. Wait a minute. Wait a minute there. Okay, Kachi. Ngopo rang shin ki mena. Say ngopo. Nam. Rang shin ki. Sorry, it's just ngopo. Rang shin ki. Mena. If things don't have any nature of their own, and specifically working things, cars. Okay. Kyuki. Say kyuki. Ngopo nam rangshin ki me chepe tsik. Well, hell, let's talk about your words. I guess they don't work from their own side either, right? You're trying to explain to me how the car doesn't start from its gasoline, right? Right. So you're saying like the car doesn't function in essence, right? Okay. So let's talk about the words that you're using to explain that to me. Okay. Deyang rangshin gime. So I guess they don't have any nature of their own, right? Those words don't have their own meaning from their own side. They don't have a meaning that exists in them, right? And if they don't, okay, if they don't have any nature of their own, then how do you expect me to understand what you're saying based on your word? Okay? If your words can't work from their own side, why are you arguing with me? Okay? Why are you trying to convince me that a car can't start on its own? Because then your words can't convey to me any meaning, because they don't have any meaning on their own. Got it? It's a beautiful argument. It's a nice argument. I like it. It's really cool. Like, once in a while in a lecture, you'll get one person will say that, you know? Like, they'll get it, you know? So is it true that words have their own inherent meaning? No, there's like half the people here already fall asleep. Like, I can't believe he just goes on and on. Isn't there a break in this class? It's hot in here, you know? And then other people are like, they say if you're a real Madhyamika person, you got this chill up your spine. The minute I said words don't have any nature of their own, you're like, oh, wow. You know, key to eternal happiness, you know? Wow, oh, wow. You know, they say in the opening lines of the Madhyamika Avatara, you get this chill up your spine, like, man. That's it, you know? So my words don't have a nature of being pleasant or boring, right? Whether you get it, it's not coming from me, you know? Whether you get what he's been saying for the last hour, it's only you, right? The words don't have any nature. The words don't have any... If they did, then when a bug came here, it'd be, oh, wait a minute, I read in this, you know? No, because if the word had meaning of its own, you giving these words meaning. I'm going blah, 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 blah. Palatals, gutturals, you know, sibilants, certain decibels. And then because you were kind, infinitely kind to infinite people in your past lives, you are understanding them. It's not me, you see. You're creating these words. You're giving them meaning. You see what I mean? Even the meaning of words doesn't exist in the words. Get it? That's so beautiful. Okay, anyway. So how do you expect your words to disprove that things have their own nature and to prove that they don't have their own nature, which is a positive and a negative, get it? Sorry, negative and a positive. That's where we get the positive and negative, got it? That's where the positive and negative thing comes out. How do you expect your words to prove to me that things don't have their own, that fire's not hot? Or that cars don't go? Or how do you expect your words to prove to me that it's true that they don't go? Something like that. Okay. That they, what, is that what you said? Yeah, how do you expect to prove that they don't have a nature? And how do you expect to disprove that they do have a nature? Okay? Positive and negative. Got it? If your words don't have any meaning inside them. Okay? How do you expect that? Okay, and here's the answer. Tsundogle. This is Nagarjuna's response, right? And the book is called My Response, right? Then let me read it. It's a big bhaktat, right? It's a big virtuous scene. Say, Kalte, Lopo, Tamcheki, Rangshin, Kunla, Yumena, Kyoki Tsikyang, Rangshin Me, Rangshin Dopar, Minuso. Let's do that part, okay? This is Nagarjuna's original work. You never get to hear Nagarjuna, okay? And as I said at the Christian talks, you never hear anything before Nagarjuna. You know? Until the Greeks, Roman, Christian, whatever, Jewish influence hit India, there's no Mahayana. It's very interesting, okay? But we'll talk about that some other time. This is this huge influx of ways of thinking from Greece and Jerusalem, and it's very interesting. But anyway, here he goes. Rangshin kunla yomena, if it's true that no thing has its own nature, okay, got it? If it's true that no thing has its own nature, kyuki tsikyan rangshin me, then the words you're using to explain that to me don't have their own nature either, do they? Got it? Who's talking? Arya Nagarjuna? No, the other guy. Right? And they never tell you in these books. You have to figure it out. But we know Nagarjuna wouldn't say that. Okay. Rangshin Dopa Minuso. And so your words can't refute the idea that things have their own nature. Can they? Okay? It's a nice argument. There's the argument. She tsapa kane says she. Tsapa. De. Kane. The other guy presents his argument. That's his argument. Okay? Dela, to that person I say, Ngopo rangshin ki drupe kelang dan damcha yuna, if I had ever accepted that things had their own nature, Deitabu gaktu ki namcha mite, it would be wrong for me to try to talk you out of your bad ideas and try to talk you into my good ideas. Kyang! What's kyang? But, dende kelen dan damcha me, I never said that. Okay? If my words were self-existent, you could criticize me. But since I never said that, you can't criticize me. So therefore, gaktuki namshak mitepe kin me, you can't accuse me of trying to prove something and trying to disprove something incorrectly. You can't accuse me that my words are ineffective. You can't say that. Because I never said that their efficacy was part of them. It's just coming from you. Okay, got it? I never said my words had any meaning. You know? I'm trying to get you to accept them, but whether you do or not, it's going to come from you, not me. Now, if I had said that the words had some meaning, you could blame me for something. But I never said that. Okay, got it? Then he quotes Sundok to back that up. Okay, that's been his paraphrase. So, just repeat, it's good karma. Okay, kelte? Nge tamje? Gaya. Kelte nge tamche gaya. Yeah, that's okay. Kelte nge tamche gaya. If I had ever said that my words had their own meaning, dena ngala kyendeya. Say dena. Ngala. Kyendeya. Then you would be right in criticizing. So then say ngala. Damcha. Mepena. But the fact is that I never said they had their own meaning. Therefore, ngani kinme konayin. Therefore, I'm perfectly faultless. Okay, kona means perfectly. You know, I never told you my words had their own meaning. In fact, whether you get them or not is up to you. That's coming from you. Whatever meaning my words have is coming from you, not from me. I'm just a red and white cylinder. Okay? Whether you see me as something to chew or something to write with is up to you, right? I'm just making sounds. Whether you get emptiness in this hour or whether you get bored in this hour, that's coming from you. Got it? That's his beautiful response. Okay? Even words don't have any quality of their own. Okay? Got it? It's very beautiful. Okay. Denise, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Why do you take medicine? In the hopes that you have helped someone else with scripture in the past.
But, I mean, you couldn't have the same result from a comic book.
That lady came up yesterday, the one that we were talking about, and she said, then the pen just could have been a good cucumber or a chicken. I'm like, you got it. Okay, here we go. I told her we got to write that one down. Anyway. And the rest of the answer comes in the rest of the book. That's all he's saying. Okay. And he's finished with showing how that particular one of the sixth grade logic books of Nagarjuna does its thing. Okay, he's done with that book. Now he moves to another book. Say Rigpa. Drukchupale. This is the 60 verses on reasoning. It's another one of his sixth grade books on emptiness. Okay. Say Tanyi.
Tanyi.
Pangbe.
Pangbe.
Yeshide.
Yeshide.
Drulcheki. Lamdu.
Temba.
Yente. Okay. Tani Pangba Yeshe means the wisdom which is free of the two extremes. The wisdom which is free of the two extremes. Give me either one with regard to the car.
Yeah, the car doesn't exist at all.
Yeah, the second one would be that. The car doesn't exist at all. Huh?
Gasoline makes it go.
Yeah, and gasoline makes it go. Okay? Those are the two extremes. How many people fall into the gasoline doesn't? Gasoline does make it go extreme. 99.999999999. How many people fall into the other extreme? Very few. Those who misunderstood an explanation of emptiness as well, which is why it's a bodhisattva vow not to explain emptiness to people who are not ready. Because they'll go into that other extreme, which is relatively rare, but very nasty. Because then you go into nihilism, and then you say, well, it doesn't matter whether I'm a good person or a bad person. You see what I mean? So. Yeah.
It would mean, how that works.
It's normally phrased as if blah, 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 then the car can't exist at all. You see what I mean? If gas doesn't make the car go, you know, somebody comes out of that talk at the Christian church the other night, and they, after 2 weeks, they forgot the details, and they say, well, if gas doesn't make a car go, then nothing can be real at all. Then cars don't exist, in a way. And then they get confused, and then they, you know, people go off on 10-year tangents sometimes. Thinking that there's no car there, somehow that's going to make them happy to think that, you know, or something like that. Okay. Tani Pambe Yeshi, the wisdom which is free of those two extremes. Okay. Jul Cheki Lam is the path to freedom. Okay. Temba Yente. This 60 verses on reasoning by Aryanagarjuna does teach that the wisdom which is free of those two extreme ideas is the path to liberation. Okay. That was the, we talked about it. Okay, so you convinced me the car doesn't run on gas. What's that mean to my real life? How's that going to make me a happier person? You know, how many Madhyamikan scholars are more cheerful people? You see? No, really, that's sort of a pity in a way, right? If you really get Madhyamika, you should be somehow a happier person, right? So if it's true that the car doesn't run on gas, then what's that mean? What should that do for me? Why should I? How does that affect me as a person? Right? This is the way to get the liberation. This is the way to all higher goals. Okay, that's the goal of his book, the 60 verses on reasoning. Okay, because say Rigpa, Dukchupale. Because the 60 verses on reasoning says, and then you should repeat because it's a big virtue. These are the first. Big book on emptiness. Say yepe, nambar, micholte, mepe, sipa, dilemin. Why isn't that sridpa? That subjoined letter is silent. Okay. In Hausa dialect, how would a Ladaki pronounce it? Sridpa. Okay. Here we go. Ngodang. Ngeme, Yongshepe, Dagni, Chembo, Nambar, Chul. Okay, this is hard. Yepe Nambar Michote. You won't get to freedom if you think things exist. What's he going to say next? Good, yeah, something like that, right? Here it comes. And you can't get out of samsara. You can't get out of suffering. If you think things don't exist. Those are the two extremes. He just mentioned extremes. What was the, if you think things do exist means what? With the car. Yeah, that the car makes it run. But again, if you think that they don't exist, which means what? It's always started with if. If the car doesn't run on its gas, then the car must not exist. And then you say, if you think that, you're not going to get out of samsara. That's even almost worse in a way. Like, if you think the car runs on gas, the worst thing that can happen to you is you won't get free. If you think the car doesn't somehow exist at all, it's an illusion, it doesn't matter whether I'm a good person or a bad person, man, you are in trouble. You'll never escape pain. The big difference, right, between not getting to freedom and having pain all the time, okay? I mean, those are two separate things. So which wrong view is worse in a way? It's the second one. You know, oh, everything's an illusion. It doesn't matter what I do. I could be a good person or a bad person. You know, it doesn't matter. And that was Huaxiang's viewpoint, right, in Kamala Shila's debate. That's really what he said. You know, he said, you could just sit around and do nothing. And if you think about nothing, you don't need the six perfections. You just space out and you're there. You know, you're already there, 10th level. You're already, when you can space out, you're on the 10th level. Okay, all right. Ngu da ngu me yong she pe means, sometimes ngu means, ngupo means working things. Sometimes ngu me means a thing which exists, which doesn't work, doesn't do anything. Give me one example. There's only two or three of them. Yeah, empty space. It doesn't do anything. I hate to say space because then people think of the black thing and what the, you know. Empty space just means the place in which this thing is. Okay. Does it function? Does it ever do anything? We say no, okay, the books say no. It doesn't change, for example. Whether the flash disk is in the space or out of the space is just lying there. Okay? Like this world is taking up a space, right? Planet Earth is taking up a space. When it blows up, the space will still be there. The space doesn't care either way. It's just the same, okay? In that sense, that space doesn't change. Emptiness is the same. Emptiness is just there, it's not doing anything, okay? So if I see emptiness, does that do anything? That's another question. Okay, anyway, here, ngu da ngu me means that which exists and that which doesn't exist. So bhava and abhava in Sanskrit can either mean a working thing and a thing which doesn't work, or it can mean a thing which exists and a thing which doesn't exist. And you have to know that it can mean either one, and as a translator you have to pick the right one. What does it mean here? I'll give you two choices. It either means you goddamn well better understand the difference between working things and non-working things, or you goddamn well better know the difference between what's real and what's not real. How are you going to translate it? You have those two choices. I like the second one. Because what he's saying is that things do exist, but they don't exist on their own. Okay? That you better know the difference between that kind of existing thing and that kind of non-existing thing. Okay. Dagni Chembo number draw. Dagni Chembo means Maha Atma, which if you slur it is Mahatma. Okay? And it's an old word, long before Gandhiji. It just means, man, those great people. Those big people. Maha comes into English as magna, and Atma comes in as diamond. Okay? Atma means indivisible. And the original Greek word for diamond is adamas, which means indivisible. And then the A got dropped and it became diamond. Okay? Cool. Anyway, number dual means they get free. They get free because they get it. They get the difference between what exists and what doesn't exist. Does the car exist?
Yes.
Yeah. Does it exist on its own? No, I'm making it go. Why? Because I gave rides to lots of people. Just that much having been said, everyone in this room should be dying to give rides to people because you want your car to start. Right? No, I mean, it's just natural that the people coming out of here would be the kindest, nicest people in the world about car loaning and and giving people rides. No, really. Because that's the only reason your car starts. It's not a question of morality or kindness. It's like, goddamn, you want your car to start? You have to be nice to people. You have to loan cars. You have to give people rides. They're going to have, like, so many cars. Anyway, okay. Shedang. What time am I supposed to stop, by the way?
7:30?
It's 5:30 to... What time does she start? She's the registrar. She knows his name. Oh, so I get to go for 20 more minutes? Okay. I'll take it. Shedang. In this class, I figure you're doing so much, you don't need a break, okay? Okay. Say, Yipapani.
De.
Draw or ndro?
Ndro.
Yeah, so this is dendro. Say dendro.
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 Draw. 메파파니 년도도 양다 지신 영세네 니라미텐 타완결 타완결 get it? It's orangir. That's where the N in kangir comes from, those of you who know the word kangir. Okay? Okay. You can almost translate this. Yip papa means, papa means a guy who says. Yip papa means what? A guy who says things exist goes dro to dedro, dendro. The three higher realms. Okay? They go to the three higher realms. You can do good karma without a deep understanding of emptiness. It won't get you out of samsara, but your car will start, or something like that, you know. Or you'll go to happy rebirth, okay? Mepapani, Nendordo. They go to the three lower realms. People who say nothing exists go to the three lower realms, okay? Those who say you should be a nice person, why? Because the church said so. Or because it's right. Or something like that. Who don't understand why you should loan your car. Okay? They'll have a good result, but inside the prison. You get to go to the better jail room. You only get tortured once in a while. Okay? Like that. Okay? And then those who go to the other extreme, oh, the car doesn't exist then. It doesn't matter whether I ever loan the car or not. You know? Then those people, they go to the three lower rooms. Yendodon. Yanda jishin yongshene, those who understand the way things really are, nila miten, they don't fall into either extreme. Tarwangir, they go to tarpa. They go to moksha. They go to liberation. Okay, tarwangir. Shesu meche, okay, that's it. Yeah.
If I thought that the classic example, or at least a classic example of thinking that things exist is that you would therefore think that you could get a thing by taking it from someone.
Yeah, that's true too. And in that case, you'd go to the lower realms too. Yeah, yeah. I think he's saying in the best of circumstances. He's specifically referring to people who do good deeds out of habit, or because their parents told them to, or the church told them to, or it's against the law not to do that, but who don't get it. You see, if every good deed we ever did was motivated by knowledge, we would never refuse a person a ride. You see, because you don't want to be stuck out in the desert and your car doesn't start. Therefore, you have to give people rides. It's a logic. That's what, and we don't do that. So, but it's talking about that. Yeah.
I can't remember the source that put forward just as a general wrong worldview can send you to the cold hells.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so how is that compatible? They have wrong worldview.
Yeah.
They're still doing good deeds. And yet, generally, wrong worldview is the ticket to the cold.
Yeah. Hells. I think they're talking about the necessary consequence of wrong worldview and not wrong worldview itself, maybe. Like that. Because you can't behave properly if you have wrong worldview. And so then you screw up, like, even in your thinking. Okay. In the teachings on the 12 links, they discuss the ethical, power of each link. Meaning, is it virtue, non-virtue, or neutral? Okay? What do you guess the first link is? Ignorance. I mean, this is the source of all pain in the world. And in that teaching, the first link of the 12 is said to be neutral. Ethically neutral. You see? And I used to sweat over that. You know, how can ignorance be ethically neutral? It's the cause of all suffering. And then you got to chew on that. Okay? I used to think it was the wrong misprint. You know, I used to worry about it all the time. Okay. Think about it. You know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now he's going to prove that another book that Nagarjuna wrote is what he said it was. Okay. So say Rinchen Chawa. This people translate it as what? The Jewel Rosary or something like that. It's a mala. Mala, even in modern India, is just a string of anything. A string of jewels, a string of flowers. Okay, so Rinchen Tawa means a string of jewels, like a bracelet made of diamonds or something. Okay, it says, "Detabe yeshide drujeki lamdam tanjekembe tobe cheki lamdembe yende it does indicate that that kind of wisdom is also the way to reach omniscience. Okay, what did we just say it was? The way to reach tarpa. Yeah, liberation. And that, as opposed to omniscience, means what? Nirvana. Just getting rid of your negative thoughts forever. That's freedom. Tarpa. And then nirvana enlightenment, omniscience is Buddhahood. So big difference between the two. I saw a book yesterday, that's why I never read those books, that said they were the same. You see what I mean? Time magazine said they were the same in the article they did on Buddhism and stuff like that. Anyway, so this book undertakes to prove that that kind of thinking can get you to Buddhahood. So he's going to present it now later, right? Because we're going up, right? So this last book by Aryanagarjuna is like, if you get it about the car, you not only can overcome your jealousy, you can get enlightened and help countless beings. Big difference, right? Okay, so here we go. Rinchen Tawale. Say Rinchen Tawale. Because the string of shining jewels says. And now repeat, okay? It's cool. Jisi. Pumbor. Zinyapa. Tesi. Dela. Ngarnzin Yut. Ngarnzin. Yuna. Yanglete. Tele. Yangni. Kewayin. Lamsum. Tokta. Umepar. Korwe. Kingkor. Say it again. Kingkor. Is there a pineza?
Yes.
Is it a third column?
No, it's a...
That's like one of the three exceptions in the universe. Just so you know, we don't call a mandala a kilkor. It's called a kingkor. Hear the N?
Yeah.
Kingkor.
No.
Yeah. Got it?
No.
Not very strong in spoken. Okay. Gelme.
Yi.
Then what? Kingkor. Kingkor. Tabu. Pensin. Du. Gyuken. Dini. Korwar. Ngyur. Deni. Rangshin. Nika. Dang. Dusum. Nidwang. Matop. Chir. Why didn't he just say the normal thing, du kyang? Why did he go dwang? He has to make his meter. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. So he's got to say da da dwang. It's just one beat. You see, he's cheating. Okay, but they do that. Top chir. Nganzin. Bani. Separ. Ngyur. Dele. Ledang. Kewa. Yang. She. Okay, here we go. This is a long quotation, as you may have noticed. Jisi Pumbor Zinyupa. This is tough. As long as you think that the parts of you, as long as you grasp to the parts of you, Desi Dela Ngan Zinyu, then you will grasp to you. Got it? As long as you think your mind is self-existent, or your body is self-existent, then you will think that cat is self-existent. You see what I mean? That's different, right? What's that? Like, if you're talking about a car, right, and the gasoline, how could you apply that to your own mind? That's a tough one. That's Mahamudra, sort of, you see? I have control over the thoughts I'm thinking. Right? I'm thinking my thoughts. I'm not just listening to the karmic repercussions of all the nasty thoughts I had in the past. Right? I'm not just a witness to the screw-ups I did in the past. I'm thinking these thoughts. Right? I'm thinking these thoughts. Right? And I can get to sleep tonight if I just decide to not have insomnia. You see what I mean? Right? Yeah.
Basically, if you are not thinking the thoughts, you didn't screw up all those times.
Yeah, maybe. If I had said... It's a good point. It's a good point, yeah. If I'm not responsible for them, then why do I collect karma when I have them? Or are you your listening to those? And if you are, how do you get out of it?
How do you separate out your listening and believing them, which is
than a new karma.
Yeah.
I mean, could you go that way? Because you...
Well, I think if you really understood the emptiness of your thoughts, you wouldn't be so frustrated.
You wouldn't have low self-esteem.
Yeah, if you realize that, you wouldn't get frustrated, because when you fight your thoughts and you lose, you wouldn't get so frustrated. The fighting is going to have sweet thoughts later. The fact that you can't beat the thoughts coming right now is your old karma. You see what I mean? And then you're like this calmness about your life. Okay, I can't help the screw-ups that are taking place around me right now. I can't help the circumstances in I'm in at this moment. But by being patient or by being kind, I know that at least they'll be going away in the future. You see what I mean? So that would be an example of understanding your thoughts instead of holding them to be selfish. Body is easy. Body is easy. I'd like to be more attractive. So, three choices. Do yoga, buy cosmetics, or avoid anger. No, really. Really. The karmic cause of ugliness is anger. The karmic cause of having a face which is unpleasant is only anger, right? So if you want to fix your face or be more attractive, the only way is to be more patient with people. Less, every time you're angry, you set the causes to have some kind of ugliness in your face. And then later in your life, people will just find you unattractive. You know, why do people find, like Cindy, what's her name? Got this big mole there. What's her name? What's her name? Crawford, yeah. Why do people think it's cute? You see what I mean? A mole on any other person is like ugly. A mole on Cindy Crawford is beautiful. Why? It's empty. Okay, it's her karma. She was patient in the past. She's got this big ugly thing on her face. And people pay $1 million to photograph it.
You know? That she's perceiving them as perceiving.
Yeah. And she is, right? Because she gets the check.
The deck is kind of stacked against you if you're prone to angry thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's no breaks, there's only absolute justice. It feels unfair. Yeah, it's one of the four karmic results, right? It's the tendency to keep doing it. So like you're already behind. It still doesn't seem fair, but no, it's totally fair, and that's the problem with it. You know what I mean? It's totally justice. No one can cut you some slack. No one can write the doctor and say, Johnny, you know, the teacher and say, Johnny's not coming in today. You know? Yeah.
Phil? Your question is, how do you get out of that?
Oh, yeah. Just the fight against it is that. And to know, I guess to know that you have that problem is the biggest first step, you know? That you, if you have anger, I think you get more calm and more at peace with yourself and more gentle with yourself if you know it's a karmic problem for you. You know what I mean? And then you're more capable to fight it. If you get flustered or upset or you feel low self-esteem or, you know, then you have less ability to fight it because you're less clear thinking. You're just hung up on how bad you feel, you know. So I think to realize that when you have a bad habit, it's going to perpetuate the habit, to know that is healthy and helps you fight it. That's all. And for a person who has a habit of anger to fight it is much better karma than for a person who's not prone to anger to fight it. You see what I mean? You get more points. If you're on a roll of several lifetimes of being an angry person. And in every little fight you can put up, count big time karmic points. So if a person is prone to anger and they can stop it for a few minutes, they get more karmic credit than a person who's not prone to anger who can stop it for an hour, okay? So that gives hope to people who are on a karmic roll of any kind, you know. So that's all. Yeah.
What's the real way to fight? Should you fight quickly or like duke it out for a long
time? The texts say, what is that? The 8 verses. Chandadone dopasho, which means kick its ass immediately. Because it collects bad karma while you're thinking about kicking its ass. You see? So better if you can quit smoking in one day. Yeah, okay. But you can't always do it, and you can't get upset. Or when you get flustered, then you just do more bad karma usually. So it's to be calm, realize you have limitations, and then work, you know. But it's not going to stop in a day. Okay. As long as you hold the parts of you to be self-existent, you will hold you to be self-existent. As long as you hold you to be self-existent, then you will collect karma. Lete. As long as you are collecting karma, you'll have to be reborn into this cycle of pain. Okay? And then you will take the three roads, and I don't know what he's meaning, but maybe it's like three lower births. I don't know. Yeah? No. He's talking about birth, rebirth. Yeah. Sorry? Oh, from that. It's not dene meaning then. It's from that. Good. Good question. And it's confusing because this le means from and this le means karma. Right? Sometimes they'll say dele, le dele. But anyway. Lamsung tota umepar. This passing through these three roads, I guess he means lower birth. Tokta umepar. There's no beginning, there's no end, there's no middle. Korwe kingor gelme yi. Korwe means samsara. I like to somehow get the word self-perpetuating in there. That's what korwa means. You see? Somehow when you translate it, if you can get in the meaning, self-perpetuating. You know? By responding to the world as you do, you keep it going. You see what I mean? She had a friend, Christy has a friend who's, he invented something called opposite day. And I like that idea. Just do the opposite of what you feel like doing. If someone yells at you, just do the opposite back. Be nice to them, you know? You know what I mean? You really want a maple covered donut? Give one, give it away. You see what I mean? Like opposite day. Okay. So anyway, Konwe King Gor Gelme. Gelme means you take a stick. Like you've seen those sparklers on 4th of July, and you go like this real fast, and it looks like a solid circle, okay? And that's what they compare samsara to that, okay? It's like, it's just going until it appears like a solid circle, okay? Gelme yi. Kinkor tabu pensin du. Like a kinkor. Kinkor means what in Sanskrit? Mandala. Okay, mandala, which comes into English as Spanish as mundo, the world, you see? But anyway, that's another story. So it means a secret world. It means a world. But the original meaning of kinkor is a circle. Like the moon and the sun are called kinkor. And sometimes when you visualize a lama, it says, Nyima Dandawe Kinkor, like he's staying on a disk of the sun and moon. So it was thought that the earth and the sun and the moon were disks. So what it means here is a circle, okay? Pensin du gyuken dini korogyur. We circle around in this wheel, like a Ferris wheel, right? And causes, it's self-perpetuating. It's self-perpetuating. You get angry, then you get the habit of getting angry, and then in the next life you get angry again, which gives you the habit again, which also allows angry people to be in your life. Then you get angry at them again. So gyuken pensin du means these causes and factors tend to snowball. Pensin means mutual. They support each other mutually. You know. Okay. You get on a downward cycle is what it means. Bill Gates calls it a downward cycle. Dini langshin yika dang. Do some nido on matup chir. Because they don't have either nature, and because they don't even exist as the three times, you can stop this tendency. What are the two qualities? They exist the way they look, or they don't exist at all. Okay? And the three times are past, present, and future. Even time doesn't exist from its own side. And that's a big thing, right? In the Yoga Sutras, it's a big thing, okay? Which is why you can see all three times later, okay? Time doesn't have to be past, and time doesn't have to be future. Those are indicators that are glued on those objects. And just as heat can be removed from fire, pastness can be removed from past. And you can see the past and the future infinitely. You see? Because being past and being future is not a quality that they possess. Got it?
It's the premise of quantum physics. Why do we remember the past and not remember the future?
Yeah.
Because of the
temporal. Yeah. Do they have any quality of their own of being future? You see, I mean, that's the idea. And then the first time you really see into the future, it's like somebody hit you with a hammer, right? It's like, wow. So future's not future. You see, the first time you really clearly see an event that might take place 6 days from now, and then 6 days from now you see it again, then you're like, so even time doesn't have its own quality. You see, I mean, therefore, all things are possible. Omniscience is possible. Okay, very cool. But we got to stop. You stop the tendency to hold on to me, and then they're used together, and from that karma stops. Okay, and kiwa, and rebirth, etc. Okay, so when you stop ignorance, then you stop making karma, then you stop rebirth. Okay, pain, and we'll stop there. I'll put a marker if it takes it. No, okay. I'll translate it formally in between now and Monday and stick it in there and we could put it up on the web like that. Okay. Shape changes. I don't know. That's all yours. Okay, you ready? Let's do it.
Riraming shinin degam padi Sangye shindu mite uwagi Rokunam dakshina cha pasho Idam guru ranamandalakam niyatayami Diyi ke wokun sanami she tso tso shin Tsunami shene chungwe Dampa kuni topa sho.
Okay, good. Keep coming, okay? You don't want to learn Tibetan. It sounds confusing. You're confused by the whole class. You will never get a chance like this. There's no greater book about emptiness. If you just hear a sentence and you're confused and you go away for 20 years, it's still the best thing you ever did, okay? So keep coming, okay? It also makes the room warm, which is means a lot. Okay.